Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, this week we're continuing to look at the subject of, is your estate plan good enough? You want something that's better than just good enough.
Usually.
And trusts and wills are two of the main ways you accomplish estate planning. And a lot of times a will is good enough for a lot of people, but there are ways to make it even better. So you want to discuss that.
Yeah. And really the thought process in having this particular show is to talk about that mentality of good enough. I have an estate plan and I'm sure it's good enough. But how do you know until you actually bring it in, get it reviewed, make sure that it's still matching the vision and the purpose in your heart for your family? Because here's the thing. The law keeps changing. As a matter of fact, this morning, as weird as this is going to sound to everybody out there in radio land, I was looking at what different changes in 2024 have happened. And so we're at a new year. So every beginning of the year, I need to sit down and I need to review and see all the different law changes that are going on. And so even this morning, I'm still chasing some of the new laws so that I can make sure that everything I do in this new year is at its highest best level. And so for me, templates don't just sit around and continue to get old. It's my job as an attorney to know what has changed and to ensure that everything I do is at its highest best level. So, therefore, if you have an estate plan that's even 3 and 5 years older, what are some of the things that are already missing or have already changed in the taxing structure, in the legal structure, because Congress or Washington State does not sit idly by. They're always moving the barometer. They're always moving the laws. And so how do we keep an estate plan at its highest best use? Then your family may have changed in last year. There may have been different things that have taken place. Someone has something that's happened great, or another family member has something that has happened that is not really great. Your finances have changed over the past several years. So all of these things combined mean that a document that is anywhere 5 years or older is already beginning to wear down in its efficiency and effectiveness, and we need to take a look to make sure that it is still operating at its highest best use. And not only that, but what I have found also in my practice in reviewing thousands of estate plans is that most documents I review, I can see that they're just simply templated documents. Now, what I mean by
that. Nothing specific.
Yeah, what I mean by that is that if I took that document and lined it up with another one, they would almost be verbatim all the way down, except names change, birth dates change, and there may be a section here or a section there that is fine, that is changed for that specific client. Mm. So in other words, really everything except for the first page where your names and where your family members are, and the last page, which is your signature pages and the witnesses, everything else internally would look very, very similar or the same. And for some people that have very, very simplistic plans, what do I mean by that? Maybe $100,000 or less, maybe just a simple bank account, but you don't own a home, and you have a retirement plan or a pension plan that when you pass away may not be passing on to anybody. You have a checking account. There are ways to structure estate plans to ensure that they don't go through the probate process. But even that, wouldn't it be great to sit down with somebody to ensure that the plan and the will that you use is actually going to be structured in a proper way so that your plan doesn't have to go to probate? And so that would be a good thing, right? Okay. If we can utilize the system and not go into probate. There's ways to do that in Washington State nowadays, even if you own a home. But It needs to be looked at and detailed to ensure that if that is one of your goals, that it can actually be reached and done properly. So even in a quote-unquote simple plan, I hear that a lot. I'm simple. And that may be true. Most of the time, it's not. Most of the time, people are downplaying what they have because it's like a false sense of humility or a false sense of humbleness. We want to make sure that indeed you fit well within the instrument that we're going to place you in. That would be step number one. And oftentimes, a will package is proper. Yes, we can ensure also that you are going to avoid probate and these types of things. But really, the goal in all of it is that I want to ensure whether I do a will package or whether I do a trust package, that everything is done with extraordinary excellence. Now, I read this scripture last week. I'm going to do it again because I think it's just important. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." Now, that word virtue in the Greek actually means excellence. And so everything that I want to do, because Christ has called us through the knowledge of him who's called us by glory and virtue, okay, that word virtue, that excellence, he's called us to be followers of him. And when we are followers of him, that we do everything in excellence. So even if we have a more simplistic, quote unquote, I'm air quoting, you can't see it, more simplistic estate plan, then it needs to be done with excellence to ensure that if we need to rely upon that document, that it's going to work exactly as you think it's going to. Unfortunately, many wills that come to my office that I did not do, so someone passes away, they call our law firm for assistance, and many times there is a will there, and the kids are stunned when I say we have to go to probate or we have to conquer this hurdle that we didn't anticipate because we've used an older document. Most of the time, it's because they're older. They're already 10, 15, 20 years old.
How common is that?
It's for clients that come off the street and need us to help them after someone has passed away, unfortunately, it is the most common thing to see an older document.
But that's better than nothing, right?
Well, it can be, yes. And again, it depends on what the instructions inside that document say, Mark. Mm. So I agree, yes. In most circumstances, it is better to have something that expresses your intent than nothing that expresses your intent. Mm. Specifically, if you have a business, specifically if you're in a blended family, oh my goodness, you need to have some voice of expressing who you consider to be your children's, because oftentimes in blended families, you don't adopt the children that are coming into the new blended family, and now it's a setup, or everything goes to the surviving spouse and they move on, and maybe the relationship with your kids was not as strong as what you wanted it to be. And so blended families are definitely one of the more difficult and tricky planning that I do, and there are a lot of landmines. So it is always better to express your intent. But I've seen wills that overexpress. One of the things I would usually encourage people to stay away from is naming like specific property. If you have two properties, I give this property to one child, I give this property to another child, because that property is never going to appreciate in the same way. They are not identical. And so if your intent is to provide for your kids, relatively equally, then there need to be certain clauses in there that first value property and do other things. And then there's complications. So I've seen this to where one property is left to one child, another property to another. They were very different in value, But
one of them might have had a huge mortgage on it.
Yeah, and that, yes, that actually was the case. So funny you should say that. But the value, the property value appreciated differently. There was a mortgage on one and the other one was paid off. And now we're supposed to divide everything else equally. Well, the kids, of course, like specifically the one with the mortgage, wanted to interpret that to say we're supposed to divide everything equally, so we're supposed to take into consideration the value of the property. But that's not what was said. So when we get sometimes specific, if it's not followed up properly on how we are to balance everything, that can be a landmine, even though your intent was good. So is it better to have something than nothing? Well, if it is properly expressing what your heart is, if it's properly expressing what your intent is, then yes, it's definitively better to have something. But in that circumstance, we could have probably gotten the properties to the proper people, but yet we had to divide everything else equally, and it left one of the beneficiaries deeply unsatisfied. Isn't that sad? Here you are given something that you didn't work for, that you didn't earn, and you're dissatisfied with it. So there are places when in this drill called estate planning, I don't care if you don't have a lot or if you do have a lot. This is a ripe area for emotions and deep feelings to be created. I've witnessed too many times, fortunately, not in the plans that I've developed. It may happen, but where families end up becoming divided and siblings don't talk or they don't have the same relationship after they go through the estate settlement process. I think that's a travesty. And if we knew that that was going to happen, we'd probably sit down and talk to somebody. Well, here's your call to action. Let's sit down and talk to someone so that we can ensure that never happens. So that we can ensure that your intentions, your good intentions for the family, are met properly. So head over to legacyandfaith.com and you can find past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, and ways to communicate to us. We'd love to hear from you. All of that can be found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, some of the heart of Paul Grant will return with more of the discussion of Is It Good Enough in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, continuing the discussion on is the estate plan good enough? You want to do better than good? You want to do the best you can? And Paul wants you to help you do that with your estate planning. And Paul, what are some of the differences of what you do versus a normally templated plan?
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of different plans roll across my desk. As an attorney who does this every day, it's pretty easy for me to spot what's templated language versus what has been specifically carved out for a client. And unfortunately, most of the things I see are very templated. There's very little specifics given to the client in front of me with that plan that I'm reviewing. And so, you know, the first thing, if someone was to walk into my office, the first thing that you can expect is that we're going to sit down and just take a little bit to get to know each other. We're going to take our time. And you know, the first section, I want to make sure that people understand this, is that for most attorneys, they will give you some time complimentary to sit down and look at what you have and get to hear what you want. And that's no different with my firm. So the first objective is to sit down and get to know the client. What do you specifically need to done in your estate plan? What's your heart? What is your passion for your family and with what you've been given stewardship over? We want to make sure it's passed properly to meet the challenges of your family. Maybe you have a disabled child. Maybe you have a child that is not doing very well financially. Or maybe you have children who are doing spectacular financially. What does it mean for them to inherit more? What are the taxing issues? So we'll sit down. We'll talk about all of those things as it pertains to your specific circumstance and your family specifically. Or if you don't have children, what does it mean to give to nieces and nephews? What does it mean to give to charities? So what is your heartbeat? And then we'll talk about the differences between a will and a trust and figure out what instrument is going to be best suited for you to meet your objectives. And from there, we'll lay out the different steps. Now, here is where I hear the comment oftentimes that says, boy, do I really need all of that? Or that's a lot of different steps that we need to take to make sure that things are done well. And here's the thing, is that most families that I meet have a greater objective of taking care of their family than just taxing issues. There's always an underlying passion to make sure that finances and wealth passed is going to be used properly. That it's going to be used long-term is actually one of the main goals. Now, we can accomplish that or we can give full access. That's up to you. That's not up to me. I'm just the one who is supposed to give you ideas, give you different scenarios. What does that picture look like? Does that blend with your plans and objectives? And then I sit down and make that work within the document itself. But all of those things are very, very specific. We get a session and we talk through what are the different scenarios that we may accomplish through the document. So, for example, we spend a lot of time on ensuring that our clients are well taken care of during their lifetime. So I call it disabled. So what I mean by that is there a time in life when you're going to need help? Well, 75% of us are going to need assistance at one time or another. We're going to need somebody to stand next to us to assist us, whether it's to assist us in paying our bills, managing our finances, or whether it's to assist us medically, take us to doctor appointments. And sometimes that time of assistance can be long-term or it can be shorter as well. But 75% of us will need assistance at one time or another. If the statistic is that high, and by the way, that's a late 1990s stat. So in the past 20 years, do you think that medical technology has gotten better and that there's a higher probability that you can actually be saved from an illness or a health incident? But yet all that we don't oftentimes get back to the same quality of living that we got, that we had before a health incident. So if there is a high likelihood that you're going to need assistance, don't you think that it's a smart thing to do to take some time and actually detail what happens to my finances if I have a health incident? Who manages it? What powers do they have? Who else do you want to care for? So do you want to make sure that your children are taken care of financially? So if you have minor children, that's a no-brainer. Yes, they need to be taken care of. What if you have a child who goes through a bad financial time in their life? If you were able to assist them financially, would you assist them? Now, some people say, well, my kids are adults. They're on their own. Okay, no problem. Other people have the thought process that says, well, no, they're my kids. If I can financially assist them, even if they're adults, I would step in to assist them. Well, if your legal documents, if your estate plan does not express that intent, then your successor trustee or your power of attorney agent would be limited in the ability to help others because templated language says, have all of my finances be used for me and me alone. Here's another question that many people get surprised by, which is, if you are generous in your life, so if you're a tither, if you give to a missionary and you had a health incident, do you want to continue to give generously to your church, to the missionary, to the Union Gospel Mission, or to any other nonprofit that you give to, regardless of your faith or regardless of what the reasons that you give? Well, in a circumstance, unless it is specifically discussed, if you encountered a health incident and someone else had to come in and take over your finances, again, they may be limited to actually having the legal authority to give your money to nonprofits like you did in the past. Mm. So there may be great limitations in your estate plan that don't meet your vision of what happens if I am not doing well. What if I need assistance? And then others would say, actually, no, I want to turn generosity off at that point in time. I want to stop giving to the different nonprofits that I give to. No problem. So we want to specifically detail that. So children, if they're minors, what if you have a special needs child? There's a whole strategy around supporting special needs children to ensure that if money is given to them, that they are not disqualified from their state social benefits. So it can be a very tricky landmine.
Yeah, I would think that'd be very complicated.
It can be. And so there are some differences, and that's just one section of what we're talking about with being specific versus using a templated document. So actually, this is an unfortunate statement I'm going to make. In the thousand of documents that I've reviewed, there's only been one plan, one that I can recall that had specific instructions for when a client experienced a disability more than just take care of me. Mm. And so what are some of the differences that we focus on? Well, there's a high likelihood that we are going to encounter a disability. So therefore, we need to address that issue and make sure that we don't leave everyone else behind when that may not be your intent. Taxing structures are also something that we spend a lot of time on. So in the taxing structure, there are things that we can do generationally to ensure that your estate plan will not be re-subject, or it will not be re-exposed to estate taxes again. And this can create a generational plan for your family. So if you have conservative children, then giving them finances, they may build their own wealth, which means that it may be re-exposed to estate taxes. Well, what if we could create a plan that would protect what you have so that your children can use it as you envision, but yet it would not harm them in the taxing structure? So there's a lot of very good taxing issues that we can do within a trust system that I cannot do if we use a will package. Because wills are more of a check-writing instrument. They get money to the right place. That's a good thing. They ensure that the right person has the power to close your estate. That's a good thing. But it cannot work in the same taxing structures as I can within a trust. Not just for your estate, but also for your children's estate and generationally. So oftentimes we have property or businesses that we want to protect within the estate plan so that the kids can continue to run businesses. And so all of that can be done with tax efficiency. So there's a couple of examples of what is different and where are there circumstances, what are there places that you need to be more specific with your estate plan, blended families, business owners. If you have family issues, whether it's addiction or special needs, or if you have kids that have a lot of money already, we need to set their taxing structure up properly. All of this can be accomplished, but we need to take the step to do proper estate planning.
You want documents that are better than good enough, and that is the subject this week on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. If you're intrigued by his approach to this subject and you want to find out more, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.